The symbol of victory at the Olympics is, of course, a medal, gold, silver, or bronze. The symbol of victory for a country at the Olympics is the number of medals it wins. NPR's Greg Myrie has been studying these medal counts and found something relevant to his job as a national security correspondent. They reveal clues over time to the rise and fall of nations, to wars won and lost, economic growth and decline. Hey there, Greg.
Hey, Steve.
What has had you thinking this way about Olympic medals for quite some time?
Well, as I looked at these tables, I noticed that, in short, world powers really are Olympic powers. You can just look at a country's Olympic performance over time, especially with bigger nations, and see how closely this tends to align with their relative political, economic, and military strength. Perhaps the most dramatic example was Germany, when Adolf Hitler hosted the Games in Nazi Germany in 1936. Germany was a real powerhouse, and then the Games were canceled in 40 and 44 because of World War II, and the Germans really didn't recover until the 50s. So just by looking at their medal chart, you could see something astonishing happened in Germany during this time.
Well, how has this played out in recent decades for the United States?
Well, the U.S. is a global power and an Olympic superpower. The U.S. has won more medals than any other country and has been remarkably consistent for more than a century. But there's still a key trend that's worth noting. The U.S. won 15% to 20% of all the medals in the Summer Games for much of the 20th century. Now, this share has dipped in recent decades to about 10-12%. And what it reflects is how the Games have moved from the Western-dominated event to a much more globalized competition with the rise of many developing nations. You know, in other words, just a lot like world politics and the global economy.
When I've been watching TV in the past few days, I've seen Chinese athletes very competitive in a number of sports.
That's right, Steve. But China was an Olympic no-show for most of the 20th century. The country was mired in all sorts of internal turmoil and had an inward-looking communist government. So China begins to open to the world around 1980 and makes its first Olympic appearance in Los Angeles in 1984. And surprise, surprise, just as China has been flexing its economic and political muscles, it also becomes an Olympic powerhouse.
Wow, I'm also thinking of the days of the Cold War when we would watch the U.S. and Soviet medal counts like it was a literal scoreboard almost.
Right. I mean, it was a key part of the Cold War battleground. And in the 50s and 60s and 70s, the Soviets often edged out the U.S. as the top medal winner, evidence, they said, of a superior Soviet system. Now, of course, this all ended with the Soviet breakup in 1991. The Russians are still strong performers, usually third or so in the medal count. You know, due to this massive doping scandal they've had over the past decade, really, Russia is formally banned from the Tokyo Games, but its so-called clean athletes are being allowed to compete, not as Russians, but as neutral athletes under the banner of the Russian Olympic Committee. And they're winning gold medals, but there's a neutral flag, and the music that we hear is Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1.
What is revealed when you look at the medal counts of smaller nations?
Well, we do see some real overachievers, and the standouts have been Jamaica and New Zealand. Jamaica has just 3 million people, and it's won 11 or more medals in each of the past three Olympics. This is entirely due to their track sprinters. New Zealand has just 5 million people and won 18 medals at the last Olympics in a wide range of sports. So for these countries and a few others, they make the most of their chance to shine on the global stage.
Greg, this is fascinating. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
NPR's Greg Myrie on NPR News.